Shabbat Shalom. I am very honored to be here today. And Proverbs 25:25 says, like cold waters to a weary soul, so is a good report from a far country. I come with the best report possible from you, to you. I come with a report from Jerusalem, Israel. Before I start, I would just like to thank your president for so warmly welcoming me and my team in yesterday. When we came into the airport, the president had a presidential car waiting for us and to take us to the Ambassador Hall, where ambassadors come in. And we were very, very honored that we were given this privilege in the great country of Liberia. I also want to thank Brother David, who worked very hard putting this program together for us, this time being here. I'd like to give him maybe a big welcome and thank you for all the work he did. I want to thank the two elders who are traveling with me, Elder Quill and Elder Mutai, for the sacrifice they're making in coming and training you. And I would also like to thank your pastor, Heather Manuel. I heard many things about Pastor Emmanuel. This is the first time I'm getting to meet him. And I really see a man of Yahweh's heart there. As you know, this man had almost 1,800 congregations here, with thousands and thousands of people. And yet, he risked everything for the truth of Yahweh. And I told him yesterday, Yahweh is blessing Liberia. I'm going to talk to you in a couple of minutes about the restoration ministry from Israel. It's a miracle what's happening today. But before I get into that, I just want to share with you that this restoration work is going all over the world. The Bible tells us in the last days, the Torah will go forth from Jerusalem and the word of Yahweh all over the earth. When Yeshua ordained the 12 apostles, he told the 12 apostles that this work that starts in Jerusalem will be taken all over the world and then back to Israel. And we are part of that. We are part of that history. I am honored to 20 years be doing ministry in Jerusalem and Israel. And we are getting people coming to faith from Asia, Philippines, China, India, Papua New Guinea, Thailand, all over the world. On the east, you have America and Europe and South America. We have congregation in Nicaragua. But in Africa, things are exploding. And I believe, I work with Africa. I say the first time I came to Africa was 2001. I came to Kenya. And I say I lost my heart in Kenya. Because I see a pure heart in the African brethren. I see a heart that wants to serve Yahweh. I see a heart of zealousness and purity. And I'll tell you one other secret. Don't tell anybody else, even though this will go all over the world. But Africa has the best singers and excitement and dancing from all over the world. I say, you can see somebody's heart and how much they love Yahweh by their praise and worship. And I've never seen praise and worship like I see in Africa. And today they touch my heart. I mean, the roof is raising here. You're zealous and happy, not because you have earthly riches, but because the truth of Yahweh has come to Liberia. I have invitations all over the world. In India, they've been waiting for me for almost 4 years. But when I heard what was happening here in Liberia, I said, I need to put everything aside, and I need to go and see what's happening. of the people to bring the real truth, the original message from Yeshua and the 12 apostles to this nation. You are Yahweh's ambassadors here in Liberia. And I know you went through many, many hardships in this country. Very, very bad things. For years I was praying for Liberia without even knowing there were any brethren here. And yet Yahweh heard your cry. Yahweh heard your cry not only for your country and your children and the division that was happening here. He heard your cry for salvation. He heard your cry for Yeshua. And Yahweh is answering that prayer. And I want to tell you, I'm with you with my whole heart, and I'm here to serve you any way I can. In the morning, I want to give you a message about the restoration of the land of Israel that's happening. You know, the human beings have been on this earth about 6,000 years. You can count the years from Adam all the way today, or roughly 6,000 years. And there's been many ups and downs in the world during that time. We know around 1445 BC that Joshua took the children of Israel into the promised land for the very first time. And how sad it must have been for Moses being across the way of Mount Nebo and not being able to enter. I've been to Mount Nebo several times. I've seen the Holy Land from Mount Nebo. And it must have been a very sad day. But the children of Israel, as you know, they were not faithful when they came in the land of Israel. They served idols. They served paganism. And they didn't cherish the word of Yahweh that he gives us. And they were cast out of the land of Israel. They were cast into diaspora all over the world, going as far as China in the east, down to Africa in the south, to America and South America in the west, and going up to Russia and Europe in the north. And the people were scattered all over the earth. And I know I'm not going to talk about it this morning, but I have my book called The Chosen People, that I do not doubt that many of you people sitting in these chairs are Israelites. Because Israelites came to this country, they came here, and they started some of the things. Many countries in Africa, in Kenya, in Uganda, in South Africa, many places in Africa, there are literal Israelites that come there. But Yahweh promised that in the end time, he was going to bring restoration back to the land of Israel and back to the world before Yeshua Messiah is going to come to this earth. And we are living proof of it. The fact that I've been doing this end time work in Jerusalem for 20 years is living proof of the word of Yahweh and the prophecy that's in there. And Yahweh gave a scripture to tell us what to look for a sign in the last days to know that we are the last generation before his kingdom comes to this earth. So let's go to Matthew 24 and let's read about this sign. Matthew 24 in verse 32. And this is where the Olivet prophecy, where Yeshua is telling all the things that are going to happen at the end time, right? There'll be false religion. We see it everywhere. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. We see it all over the earth. There'll be famine and pestilence and earthquakes. We see it everywhere we look. But then he tells this one particular sign that he says, when you see this sign, you'll know that it's the end. Because we've had wars and famines for thousands of years, and the end did not come yet. So Matthew 24 and verse 32, he says, but learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and it puts out leaves, you know that summer is near. So also you, when you see these things, know that it is near at the doors. Truly I say to you, in no way will this generation pass away until all these things have occurred. So Yahweh gives us the sign of the fig tree, right? And who is the fig tree? Let's go to Jeremiah 24. Jeremiah 24. He says, Yahweh caused me to see, and behold, two baskets of figs set before the sanctuary of Yahweh after Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had exiled Jehoiada, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah and ruler of and the craftsmen and the smiths from Jerusalem had brought them to Babylon. One basket had very good figs, like first ripe figs, and the other basket had very bad figs, which could not be eaten from badness. And Yahweh said to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" And he said, "Figs." And he said, "The bad figs are bad, and they cannot be eaten for their badness." And the word of Yahweh came to me again, saying, "So says Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, like these good figs, so I will acknowledge the exiles of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for good. For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, to the land of Israel. And I will build them and not tear down. And I will plant them and not pluck up. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am Yahweh. And you shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim. For they shall not return to me with their whole hearts." So again, Israel is the fig tree. It's very interesting. I teach something in Israel called Hebraic roots. Because you come from Africa, and you come from Liberia, which is a wonderful country. But your culture here is an African culture, which is very good. But like I say, if you wanted to become a Muslim, where would you go to learn the culture of Islam? You go to Mecca, right? You go to Saudi Arabia, to Mecca, that's where you're going to learn. If you want to become a Catholic, where are you going to go? You're going to go to Rome, Italy to learn. If you want to become a true believer, like from Yeshua, you have to come to Jerusalem. You have to come to Jerusalem because the culture is over there. And this is what I teach in my course over there on Hebraic roots. That when you put on a Hebraic mindset and you look at the fig tree is different than any other tree in Israel. Why? Because there's several types of figs. And there's an early fig called a pagay fig that usually when you're looking at a plant, and the Bible tells us this, you put a seed in the ground, right? And you watch and you watch and you water it. And maybe after 2 weeks or 3 weeks, you see a little green piece of grass coming up. And then that grass turns into a plant. And then the plant gets a flower. And then the flower turns into a little piece of the fruit. And then the fruit grows. Maybe it starts green. And then it ripens into the color it's going to be. And then you pick it. And you see the process. With the fig tree, it's not that way. With the fig tree, the leaf and the fruit come out together. It comes at the same time. It happens very quickly, almost overnight. And that's what Yeshua is telling us. He says, watch the fig tree. Watch the fig tree. When you see this happen, because remember, many prophecies in the Bible, like the Daniel 9 prophecy, are prophecies from hundreds of years or even thousands of years. But in the end time, this prophecy of the fig tree is not going to be that way. Because the fig tree, like I said, it happens very, very quick. The fig and the leaf comes together. But he also said, this generation will not pass until all these things happen. So he's telling us, Israel, which is the fig tree, when Israel becomes a nation again, according to more than 100 prophecies, we're going to read some today, then that is the last generation. So we don't have to guess. We don't have to prophesy. We don't have to make up dreams. We have to tell the word of Yahweh. Many times I'll see people that will tell me, "I had a vision, I had a dream," and it happens. You know, it does happen. But I like to go to the word of Yahweh. And in Jeremiah 9, he says, "He who has his dream, let him tell the dream. But he who has my word, let him speak it faithfully." What is the wheat to the chaff? So I have the blessing on Monday at the Capitol building that I've been invited there to speak to the Sunday pastors over here in Liberia. And that's the message I want to give them. I'm not going to tell them a dream. I'm not going to tell them a vision. I'm going to tell them the word of Yahweh. And Yahweh says, when Israel becomes a nation, that is the sign of the beginning of the end time. So here it is, 1948, May 14th, Israel becomes a nation again. And you know what happened on the night before Israel became a nation? The very night before was the night that the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. Could you imagine, as Israel is being attacked, right before the temple is destroyed, they took these scrolls, the temple scrolls, the Torah scrolls, and they hid them in caves in Qumran. Come to Israel, I'll bring you there, I'll show them to you. And they laid in those caves for 2,000 years. You have grave robbers, you have thieves, you have weather, and nothing destroyed those scrolls. And yet the very night before they're voting to make the modern state of Israel, those scrolls for the first time in 2,000 years are found. Is Yahweh good?
Yes.
Is Yahweh good?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yahweh is so good if we open up our hearts and we open up his mind to understand his word. And that's what he's showing us. He's showing us that he gave us more than 100 scriptures showing us the restoration of Israel in the end time. If we go to Isaiah 35, because you know what? Today you have a lot of replacement theology, right? They say the church has replaced Israel, although you never see that in scripture. They say that heaven has replaced the land of Israel, and they say grace has replaced the Torah. Three very important things you never ever see in scripture. But if you look in the Bible, there's many covenants in the Bible, and I say to people, if you want to know Yahweh, don't look for him through religion. Religion is something that's man-made. Look for him through covenant relationship. Many of you are going to be baptized tomorrow. You're entering covenant with Yahweh. And it's the first day of your eternity. It's more important than getting married. It's more important than any decision you make in your life. Because it's the day you literally are entering the family of Yahweh. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. But Yahweh looks in covenants. You have the first covenant, the new covenant, the Davidic covenant, the Levitical covenant, the Sabbath covenant. There's many, many covenants in the Bible, and that's what you have to do. You have to look at covenants to understand Yahweh, not religion. And in any covenant in the Bible, there's three things that never change. The people are always the people of Israel, the house of Israel, the house of Judah. The land is always the land of Israel, and the Torah is always the Torah. But in the new covenant, in Yahweh's mercy and his grace, he has opened up salvation that anybody of any place or any ethnicity around the world can join the one covenant of Israel. And how great is that? That if you repent of your sins and you accept the Son of Yahweh Yeshua for the forgiveness of your sins, you can join the one house of Israel. You can join the one covenant of Israel. And that's what we're dealing with here. Because in the end time, Yahweh is restoring Israel. He's restoring Israel, which means he's restoring the congregation. He's restoring judicial order. He's restoring everything back to the Garden of Eden, the way that it was originally. And in Isaiah 35 and verse 1, he says, water breaking out in the desert. I'll go there. Let me read it. The wilderness and the dry land shall rejoice for them, and the desert shall exult and bloom like the crocus. Drop down to verse 6 of Isaiah 35. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For waters will break out in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. And the mirage shall become a pool, and the thirsty land will become springs of water, and the home of jackals, and its lyre, and the place for reed and rush. And for years, people thought this is only poetic. Yahweh's making an analogy, but I'll come here to tell you from somebody who's lived in the land of Israel for many, many years, Yahweh is literal. I have seen just about every single miracle you can imagine that has happened in Israel. I've been blessed to cast demons out, to lay hands on people for healing, and even in Israel, seeing the dead be raised up. People that died that were even in a box, in a mortuary, that had hands laid on them and come back to life. So this is real. This is something that is very real. And this scripture is not an analogy. When Yahweh says the water will come in the desert, about 20 years ago in the land of Israel, in the desert in the south, in the Negev desert, all of a sudden, from nowhere, artesian wells from underneath the ground started exploding. And everywhere they looked, they saw water coming in the desert. And today, if you go to the land of Israel, where 20 years ago was sand and rock and desert, today are communities with grass and leaves and trees and food growing in the desert. And that's why I say Yahweh is literal. Yahweh is amazing what Yahweh does. Ezekiel 36 chapter. in verse 8. He says, "But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall put out your branches and your fruit. You shall bear for my people Israel, for they are drawing near to me. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown, and I will multiply men on you, and the house of Israel, all of it, and the cities will be inhabited, and the way shall be built. And I will multiply men on you and beasts, and they will increase and be fruitful, and I will make you dwell as you formerly were. And I will do better than your beginnings, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. Yea, I will cause men to walk on you, my people Israel. They shall possess you, and you will be an inheritance to them. It will not anymore increase their bereavement." So here it is, the Bible tells us that the land of Israel that became like a desert wilderness is once again becoming like the Garden of Eden. You know, there's a famous writer named Mark Twain. You may have heard of him. Mark Twain, famous writer. But he went to Israel in the late 1800s. And when he came back, you know what he said? He said, "That's the promised land? There's nothing there but malaria. There's no trees. It's a desert. There's nothing there." And he was right at that time. But do you know, from 1948, when modern Israel has become now a modern nation, that more than 350 million trees have been planted there? That Israel went from a land that had more malaria than Africa back in 1948 when they first became a nation, that today it's a land again of milk and honey, that they are the top of the world in organic growing, that they export more flowers, millions of flowers a day all over the world than any other nation on earth. I'll tell you another secret. Many of the flowers that wind up going to Arab countries in the Middle East come from Israel. They would never buy them from Israel. Israel sells them to Holland, and then Holland sells them to the Arab countries, and they don't know from coming from Israel. But look at this prophecy. A land that literally was barren from nowhere. The land started to come back. The fruit started to come back. The food started to come back. All is Yahweh prophesied in the scriptures. The desert wilderness has become like the Garden of Eden. And this is only since 1948. I mean, look today, look at Egypt, the problems they're having in Egypt. Look at Syria, the problems they're having in Syria. Look at Iraq. These are some of the oldest countries in the world. And the people are living poor and horrible. Israel has only been a nation, now again, modern nation, 69 years. They are the fourth strongest military in the world. They are self-sustaining. And again, Yahweh has blessed that land because of the prophecy. Not because of necessarily the people that live there. Because Israel has their own problems, as we get into some. But because Yahweh willed it in His word. That it's not an analogy. We are seeing the very restoration of the land in Israel. Do you know how blessed you are to live in the times we're living in today? I'll tell you something. Jewish people, for thousands of years, when they would see each other, they'd say the term, "next year in Jerusalem." How many people have heard that term? "Next year in Jerusalem." Anybody ever hear that? It's a very famous term that Jewish people use. And why do they say that? Because we know the Bible says three times in the year, you are to come and appear before Yahweh at Passover, Pentecost, Shavuot, and Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles. So when the Jewish people were saying "next year in Jerusalem," it was more than just meaning that they were going to come to Israel or come to Jerusalem for the feast. It meant that Israel was a nation again. It meant that they were a nation again. That all the suffering they went through for 2,000 years, the Holocaust, their children, that once again, Israel was a nation. And for all those 2,000 years, as people said, "next year in Jerusalem," and they lived and died and lived and died and lived and died. And you are alive today. Your ears are hearing. Your eyes are seeing. It's not next year in Jerusalem. It's this year in Jerusalem. Israel is a nation again after more than 2,000 years because the prophecy of Yahweh is going forward. It's this year in Jerusalem. One of the prophecies in Isaiah 36, Isaiah 36 and verse 38, he says, "Like a holy flock Like the flock of Jerusalem in her appointed feast, so the waste cities will be filled with flocks of men, and they will know that I am Yahweh. So Yahweh prophesied that once again his feast would not be kept in diaspora, they would not be kept in nations around the world, but once again those feasts would be kept in Jerusalem. And Yahweh has used myself, and he's used this ministry to fulfill this prophecy. For the last 16 years, we've been blessed to host the feast in Jerusalem. At Sukkot, we get people from more than 25 nations every year to come. And we're working on it. I want to bring Pastor Emmanuel this year. I want Liberia to be there. And you know, the first year I brought an elder from Kenya many years ago to Jerusalem for the feast for Sukkot, I told him, I said, you know, I feel really bad. I wish I could bring more Kenyans. And he said, no. Don't feel that way. He said, when one Kenyan comes, we all come. So if we bring Pastor Emmanuel, when one Liberian comes, you all come. How blessed we are to see the word of Yahweh coming about. Let's go to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Because I told you there's more than 100 scriptures about Israel today being a nation again. And tell me, what nation on earth that was taken over, that was attacked, that was defeated for 2,000 years ever came up again? Is there a land of the Amorites today? Is there a land of the Hittites today? Is there a land of the Jebusites? Of course not. Where are these people? They're in history books. Only the nation of Israel that was without a homeland for more than 2,000 years was resurrected and got a homeland again. And only because the word of Yahweh says it. So in Isaiah 43 and verse 5, he says, "Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your seed from the east, and I will gather you from the west. And I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not hold back. Bring my sons from afar, and bring my daughters from the end of the earth." So one of the prophecies is, in this end time, Yahweh is going to bring the people from the east, the west, the north, and the south back to the land of Israel. Now, when Israel became a nation, right, we had many Jews that lived in America and lived in Europe after the Holocaust. They came to the land of Israel. You had many Jews that lived in Iran and Iraq to the east that came back home to the land of Israel. But what about the north and what about the south? Well, amazingly enough, in 1989, you know the Iron Curtain came down, right? Mikhail Gorbachev took down the wall. And once the Iron Curtain came down, from 1991 even till today, more than a million Jews from Russia, Ukraine, all those areas came back to Israel according to this prophecy. But what about the South? I hope the South will listen because it's the most exciting story and it's connected with Africa. Back in the 1990s, you know that there's many Ethiopian Jews that live in Ethiopia, and they were given the okay that they can come back home. There were several thousand of them. And they came to the airport, they were going to get on planes to come to Israel, and when they got to the airport, the government stopped them. They said, "Turn back, we're not letting you go." And they said, "We've come too far, we're not turning back. We are going to our homeland." And they lived in that airport for one whole year. They refused to go back. They refused to go where they came from. And after one whole year of living in the airport, risking the life of themselves and their children, Israel came with 35 big military airplanes and airlifted these people back to Israel in the greatest airlift since World War II. This is the prophecy being fulfilled. And I say to you right now, each of you, we're coming from somewhere. You're coming from Sunday keeping. You're coming from the wrong name of God, Jesus. You're coming from wherever that Christianity has brought you. But now, you're on the road to Jerusalem. And today, it's a spiritual road. You have to learn, you have to get ready to go back home. But I can tell you with 100% guarantee, the day will come that you will get on a plane. Messiah returns, his cherubs will gather his elect from the four corners of the earth, and we will rule with Yeshua for the 1,000 years from Jerusalem. So that is your home. And that's why I say it doesn't matter today what your passport says. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter the nation you're living in. You're an ambassador for Yahweh from Jerusalem to Liberia today. So Yahweh is getting ready to take us all home. I've been honored that he put me as a he-goat before the flock. When me and my wife first came to Israel, in 1997 is when it began, I had no idea what Yahweh was bringing me. Almost every day I fought with Christians and Christian ministers trying to fight me about the Sabbath and the holy days. And I was by myself. I had no backup. But Yahweh was testing me in those days. He was testing me to see if I would be faithful or to see if I would compromise. And one thing, I'm a human being, I'm not perfect, but I will never compromise with the truth. This truth that Yahweh is opening to your mind should be the most precious thing in your life today. It's your greatest asset that you have. It's the greatest thing that you have in your life. Because for every one of you that's sitting here, there's 1,000 people out there that Yahweh hasn't opened up their mind. And he's preparing us for something bigger than just what you're doing today. But again, you got to test. You got to learn. There has to be training. You know, I tell the people that 20 years ago when I started, you know, I would have never thought that I'd be getting invited by world leaders. That Israel last year, they sent me to United Nations to be a delegate for them at United Nations. I would have never thought that, but you know what? I prepared because I knew, maybe not in this world, but I knew when Yeshua returns, I would be ambassador. I knew I would be going out. So I prepared and I took it as the most serious thing in my life. And now Yahweh has used that to bring me all around the world to bring his word from Jerusalem. And he wants to do the same with you. He wants to use you in ways you have no idea. But you have to prepare. You have to prepare. If you were going to be a computer programmer, you just don't go in and start punching buttons on a computer. No, you have to go to college. You have to train for any job you're having. And now you're training for the greatest job in the universe. You're training to be ambassador for Yahweh to the nations. Isaiah 61. I also am blessed. I work in archaeology in Israel. I've been blessed to see many, many biblical things, including about 3 years ago now, they found the original tabernacle of David. It's one of the signs that the end is coming, and I've seen it with my eyes, and it is amazing. But it was prophesied. Because you know something, archaeology is not something that's thousands of years old. The finds may be thousands of years old, but the science of archaeology is maybe 130 years old. Only in the late 1800s did archaeology start. But yet, look at Isaiah 61, 4 and 5. Yahweh predicted it. He says, "And you shall build old ruins. They shall raise up former desolations, and they shall restore the way cities, ruins of generations and generations. And foreigners shall stand and feed their flocks, and the sons of strangers shall be their plowmen and their vine dressers." And here it is. Thousands of years after this is written, today in archaeology, we have more than 40,000 archaeological sites in the land of Israel. We have found unbelievable things that have come there, including the Tabernacle of David. They found from the high priest, the bell that was on the high priest's robe. They found so many interesting things that are there in the land of Israel. And one of the things that I'm blessed this August, going to Noah's Ark in Turkey, that they found, that I'm going to go to see the remains of the ark. And again, for us as believers, we have faith in Yahweh. I don't need to see Noah's Ark to tell you that the story is true. But I know this much, outside this door, most people don't have faith. And no question, even in the land of Israel, believe it or not, there's Israelis, Jews, that say that King David was not a real person. That King David was only a myth. It was only made up. And then in 1994, they're digging in northern Israel in a place called Tel Dan. One of the students turned over a rock, and what is it talking about? It talks about a battle that happened from Beth David, from the house of David. And everyone went, wow, David really is a real character. He wasn't made up. And I said, I know that. But to them, they don't know that. And that's why archaeology is important, because archaeology proves the authenticity of the Bible. And if you're blessed to ever come to Israel, I can show you around, and I can show you some of the amazing things that they found. A few years ago, in Kibbutz Ginnesar, Ginnesar is a little settlement on the Sea of Galilee. My neighbor, I lived in Ginnesar with my wife for 6 years. My neighbor there found an ancient boat that was 2,000 years old, wooden boat. Nothing like it anywhere in the world, because wood cannot survive. It's organic material. How did this survive? Because it was must have been abandoned during a drought, and they found it under the mud. And yet, in that same area, the book of Luke tells us, when Yeshua came, and he came to Peter, and he came to Andrew, and he came to John, the apostles, and he said, forsake everything you have and come follow me. And it says they left their boats and they came and followed him. And now, 2,000 years later, in the very spot the Bible tells us that happened, they find the 2,000-year-old fishing boat. What does it mean? It means the same faith that Peter and John and Andrew had to have is the same faith we need today. Nothing's changed. The stakes are really high. Satan has deceived the whole world. But we need to exhibit that same faith. And not faith in this world, but we need to have faith in the kingdom of Yahweh. And all these things, all these prophecies we see coming about is proof to us that it's happening. Zechariah 1. Zechariah 1 and verse 12. Zechariah is an amazing book of end time prophecy. Some of it is history, but most of it is end time prophecy and telling a lot of things that we're blessed to see today. Zechariah 1 and verse 12. And the messenger of Yahweh answered and said, O Yahweh of hosts, until when will you not have pity on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which you cursed these 70 years? And Yahweh answered the messenger who was talking with him with good words, words of comfort. So the messenger who was talking with me and said, cry out saying, so says Yahweh of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Mount Zion with a great jealousy. And with great anger, I am angered at the haughty nations, and that I was a little angry, but they gave hell for evil. So Yahweh says this, I have returned to Jerusalem with compassion. My house will be built in it, says Yahweh of hosts, and a line shall be stretched over Jerusalem. Cry out again, saying, so says Yahweh of hosts, my city shall again overflow with goodness, and Yahweh will yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. You know something? When Israel was voted on in 1947 to be modern nation again, although the United Nations, which is the modern beast power, voted to make a land of Israel for their own purposes, Jerusalem was to stay separate. Jerusalem was never to give over to the Jewish people. Jerusalem was to be kept by who? By the United Nations, globalism, New World Order, right? And this was to be kept by these people. And yet Yahweh had something different, because Yahweh says, I am come with compassion, and my people will once again dwell in Jerusalem. And that's what the fight is about. Because the Garden of Eden was in Jerusalem. And that's where Satan rebelled, that's where Satan was cast out, and that's where Satan wants to rule from in the end time. And we know for a very short time, the Bible tells us 42 months, Yahweh will allow Satan to control the area, but then we know after that Satan is bound, and Yeshua will rule from Jerusalem forever, and we will be there with him. So Yahweh prophesied, and he prophesied to the nations that he said he was angry with the nations, but they made him more angry. Why? Because the nations are against Israel. The nations are against Israel. And I want to share with your president, when I have the blessing to meet her, Yahweh willing, on Monday, of what it says in Genesis 13, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And if Liberia wants to be blessed by Yahweh, Liberia has to bless Israel. It's that simple. And yet today, what do we see? Israel, a tiny little nation, right? You have 7 million Jews living in this tiny little nation in the Middle East. And more UN resolutions have been made against Israel than every other country in the world combined. Can you imagine? Hundreds of resolutions made against Israel, who's the only democracy in the Middle East. How many resolutions have been made against Syria? With the slaughtering, the murdering of hundreds of thousands of people, the suicide bombings of terrorists. One resolution they make against Syria, and they make hundreds of resolutions against Israel. Because the United Nations is part of the end time beast power. I have messages about this to prove that. And it's not a good thing. If we continue over here to Zechariah 2. Let me stay in one for a minute, because I want to show you something very interesting here. If you continue down here in verse 18, Zechariah 1 and verse 18, it says, "Then I lifted my eyes and looked, and before, four horns. And I said to the messenger who was talking with me, 'What are these?' And he answered and said, 'These are the horns that have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem.' And Yahweh made me see four craft masons. And I said, 'What are these coming to do?' And he spoke, saying, 'These are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man lifts up his head. But these have come to terrify them, to throw down the horns of the nations who lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it.'" So isn't it very interesting that the Bible tells us in the time we're living in that there's going to be craft masons, Freemasons, right? Over here you know a lot about Freemasonry. And it says that there'll be four of these craft masons that are going to be working to scatter Jerusalem and hurt the Jewish people. Isn't it interesting? About 10 years ago, maybe a little bit more, the United Nations started something called the Quartet. I don't know if you ever heard of that, but the Quartet means four. It's made up of USA, Russia, United Nations, and EU. And the whole purpose of that quartet is to divide Jerusalem. That's their purpose. And it says that they're Freemasons. And when you look at Tony Blair, who was the head of the quartet for many years, who is a Freemason, almost every American president before Donald Trump have been Freemasons. And most of the leaders of the United Nations are Freemasons. And we know that Freemasonry is satanic. At the 30 degree of Freemason, you have to give a vow to Lucifer that Lucifer is God. And maybe Lucifer is God, but Lucifer is not Yahweh. The Bible says there's many gods, but one Yahweh. And the Creator has one name, and that name is Yahweh. So, we have right now, as these prophecies are being fulfilled, you have a spiritual battle going on. And I tell this all the time. I've been to the Knesset, the law-abiding institution in Israel, more than 25 times, and I tell them all the time, I say, the reason why you're having these problems with terrorism is you're fighting a spiritual battle in a physical way. Because it's a spiritual battle. It's a battle against the spirit of Satan against the spirit of Yahweh. And of course, we know that Yahweh is going to win. But even here in the prophecy, Yahweh has foretold, even about Freemasonry. Zechariah 2 and verse 10. He says, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. For lo, I come and I will dwell among you, says Yahweh. And many nations will be joined to Yahweh in that day, and they shall be my people, and I will dwell among you. And you shall know that Yahweh of hosts has sent me to you. And Yahweh will possess Judah, his portion in the Holy Land. And he shall again choose Jerusalem." And here we are, 1967, the Six-Day War in Israel, right? Six-Day War, and once again, Jerusalem is controlled by our brother Judah. Why Six-Day War? Because the seventh day is the Sabbath. Got to rest on the Sabbath, even Yahweh rests. Most famous war in Israel, modern war that comes there. And Yahweh showed them. Zechariah 12, in verse 2 and 3. He says, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling to all the people all around. And it shall also be against Judah in the siege against Jerusalem. And in that day I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the people, all who lifted shall be cut in pieces, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. You know, in the world today, we have many problems in the world. You know, when you have problems with disease, problems with famine, problems with war. Why would all the world be worried about Jerusalem? Believe me, I lived in Jerusalem many years. There's no natural resource in Jerusalem, only rock. There's no gold. There's no oil. Why would all the world, why would they bring world war over Jerusalem? Because there's one thing Jerusalem is. Jerusalem is Yahweh's headquarters. Jerusalem is the center of the earth. Jerusalem is where Yahweh has dwelt. Jerusalem is where the Garden of Eden was. And that's why it's not enough for Satan to rule the earth for 42 months before Yeshua returns. He's got to control Jerusalem. Because Satan is a great counterfeiter. Satan is the originator of fake news, right? He changed Saturday to Sunday. He changed Yahweh's holy days into false worship of Christmas and Easter, Ishtar. He's a counterfeiter, and he wants to counterfeit the kingdom of Yahweh with his own kingdom. And that's why he will risk war on a magnitude we've never seen before to get control of Jerusalem. But unless you understand spiritually that it's a spiritual battle, it'll make no sense to you. Because like I said, there's no natural resources there. There's no reason why the nations of the world would fight over it, except for that. Zechariah 12 and verse 6. He says, in that day I will make the leaders of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire among cut grain. And they would devour all the people on the round, all around, on the right and on the left. And Jerusalem will be inhabited again in her place in Jerusalem. Right? 2,520 years, Jerusalem was not a Jewish city. But it says in the end time, Jerusalem will be in her place again in Jerusalem. Like I said, June 4th, 1967, the Six-Day War comes, and once again, Jerusalem is in her place in Jerusalem. Once again, Jerusalem is the capital of the Jewish nation. And once again, Yahweh is reigning in Jerusalem. It also says he'll make the leaders of Judah like a hearth of fire. Israel is the fourth strongest military in the world today. And even during the times of King David, they were not as strong as they are today. This is the strongest we've ever seen. And like I said, they're not a very big nation. They're not a very big nation for them to be like this, but Yahweh prophesied. So, how on earth did this tiny little nation, in 1948, when Israel became a modern nation again, there was only about 500,000 people living in the land of Israel, 500,000 Jews. How did a nation with virtually no people, they only had 4 tanks, they only had a few weapons, how could they beat the Arab armies that were more than 500,000 people? It's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. In 1967, how could a few million Jews win with more than 1 billion Arabs? It was because of Yahweh's intervention. And again, there's people that fought in these wars that tell the stories. They're true stories that come up. In 1967, during the Six-Day War, there were 5 Jews that were fighting near the southern wall in the old city of Jerusalem. And there was maybe several hundred Arabs that were coming. They were down to their last bullets. And there's an expression in Israel that they say, last one out, turn off the lights. And what that means is, it's over. We're done. And they said that to each other. They said, last one that leaves, turn out the lights. And they started praying to Yahweh. And as the hundreds of Arabs were coming down with their guns to shoot them, the Arabs looked up, and there were angels around those 5 men with swords. And the Arabs screamed at the top of their lungs and ran in the other direction. And you know what's interesting? 20 years later, one of the men that was saved was telling this story on the Mount of Olives. And there was an Arab there that said, wait a second, I was there. You were there, I was there. Now they're shaking hands, the war's over. But he proved that it was true. And over and over and over again, Yahweh's angels have intervened to save the nation. Isaiah 30 and verse 17. Isaiah 30 and verse 17 says, 1,000 will flee at the rebuke of one. You shall flee from the rebuke of five until you are left like a pole to the top of the mountains and like a sign on the hill. Isaiah 19 and verse 16 says, in that day Egypt will be like women, and it will tremble and drink from before the shaking of the hand of Yahweh of hosts, which he shakes over it. 1,000 will flee at the rebuke of one. Do you know in the 1967 war, all of a sudden the commanders in Israel down in the Sinai Peninsula, they saw one Israeli soldier walking with more than 1,000 Egyptian soldiers in line behind him. And they're amazed. They're saying, how could this happen? How could one soldier capture 1,000 soldiers? And when they started to debrief the Egyptians, they said, what's going on here? He's one man. You're 1,000. You could jump him, take his gun. He said, oh no, we were not afraid of him. And we weren't afraid of his gun. But when we saw all those angels around him, we were not going to fight against the will of Elohim. True story. True story. Another story was when they went down in Sinai, and the Egyptians put a roadside bomb. All of a sudden, as all the Israeli tanks were coming north, from nowhere, a tank shows up that was not an Israeli tank. They didn't know where it came from. And an angel was on top of the tank with a sword like that. And all of a sudden, the angel went to the left, and the other tank started following the angel. And then one Israeli tank decided to go the original way forward and was blown up on the mine. So Yahweh's miracles have shown to the modern state of Israel. And like I said, it's no coincidence that Israel is a nation again, that Israel is a people again after 2,000 years, that the prophecies are coming off the pages. And can you imagine, you can come to Israel, and you come in on an airplane that's modern into Ben-Gurion Airport, and you come outside of the airport, and 20 minutes outside the airport, you're in the valley where David fought Goliath. Right there. They actually just found in that valley, they found things from the time of King David in a settlement over there, which is amazing. But just 20 minutes outside the airport where David fought Goliath. 40 minutes, you're in Jerusalem, seeing where the temple stood, seeing the city of David, seeing the very place where Yeshua was crucified, where he was resurrected, and where he ascended to heaven. So, I say, when you come to the land of Israel, the Bible comes alive like you've never seen before. It's a living book. It's a living book, and it's a book that Yahweh is working with us. It's a book that he's showing us these things that we know how close we're coming for the end time. Genesis 13. Genesis 13. And verse 14. It says, and after Lot had separated from Abram, Yahweh said to Abraham, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are there. Look northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give to you and to your seed always. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can count the dust of the earth, then your seed will also be counted. Rise up, walk through the land in its length and its breadth, for I will give it to you. Then Abraham moved his tent and came and lived among the oaks of Mamre, which were in Hebron, and built his altar to Yahweh. Wow. You want to know something? The Bible tells us Abraham bought a piece of land at the cave of Machpelah here in Hebron, and he buried his wife there, right? And then Abraham was buried there, and then Isaac was buried there, and Rebekah, and Jacob was buried there, and Leah. And here we are, more than 3,800 years since this happened. And you can go to Hebron today, to the very cave of Machpelah, and those bones are still there. Abraham's bones, where he's buried, is still there. And it's because the sign of the covenant was to Abraham, if you follow my commandments and my statutes and my judgments, then I will bless you, and I will make you a blessing throughout all the earth. And those who bless you will be blessed, and those who curse you will be cursed. And yet Abraham died without ever receiving the promise. Abraham is very much like us, right? I can take you down to Beersheba, where Abraham lived, where he dug the well with his own hand. The word Beersheba means well of the seven, seven being the number of completion, or the well of the oath. And right where Abraham dug that well is still there today. Right where Abraham was buried is still there today. Then you can go there and you can see the very bones of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're not in heaven, like it says in Acts 2. David hasn't ascended into heaven. That they're laying there, that Abraham is sleeping in the grave. And like Hebrews 11 says, he's waiting for Yeshua's return the same as we are. He's waiting for Yeshua's return the same as we are. And in that day, when Yeshua returns, if you're alive and we meet him in the air, or if you're dying and you're sleeping in the ground and you're raised up, so will Abraham be raised up. And so will Isaac and Jacob, the forefathers of the promise. All of this is prophecy. I say Yahweh works in the circular. And what he started in the Garden of Eden, he'll finish in the Garden of Eden. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36, starting in verse 1. Ezekiel 36 in verse 1. And you, son of man, prophesy to Israel's mountains and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of Yahweh. So says Adonai Yahweh, because the enemy has spoken against you, saying, Aha, everlasting heights has become a possession for us. So prophesy and say, So says Adonai Yahweh, because of the wasting and crushing of you from all around, that you might be a possession to the rest of the nations, and you ascended on the tip of the tongue and the whispering of the people. Therefore, mountains of Israel, hear the word of Adonai Yahweh. So says Adonai Yahweh to the mountains and to the hills, to the ravines and the valleys, to the waste of desolation, and to the forsaken cities, which became a prey and a mocking to the rest of the nations all around. So Adonai Yahweh says this, Surely I have spoken in the fire of my jealousy against the rest of the nations and against Edom. All those of Ur have given my land to themselves for possession, with all joy of heart, with scorning of soul, in order to make it open land for prey. And prophesy concerning the land of Israel, and say to the mountains, and to the hills, and to the ravines, and to the valleys, So says Adonai Yahweh, Behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because you have borne the shame of the nations. And Adonai Yahweh says this, I have lifted up my hand. Surely the nations that surround you, they shall bear their shame. Drop down to verse 12. Yea, I will cause men to walk on you, my people Israel, and they shall possess you, and you will be an inheritance for them, and will not any more increase their bereavement. Drop down to verse 22. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, says Adonai Yahweh, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but only for my holy name, which you profaned among the nations there where you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you profaned among them. And the nations shall know that I am Yahweh, declares Adonai Yahweh, when I am sanctified in you in their eyes. And I will take you from the nations, and I will gather you from all the lands, and I will bring you into your land, the land of Israel. Then I will sprinkle pure water on you, waters of baptism, and you will be purified. I will cleanse you from all your defilement and from all your idols. And I will also give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, the Holy Spirit. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you will dwell in the land that I gave your fathers. And you shall be to me for a people, and I will be Elohim to you. And I will also save you from your defilements, and I will call for grain and increase it, and I will not put a famine on you, And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the produce of the field, in order that you not any more receive the disgrace of famine among the nations. And you will remember your evil ways and your doings that were not good. And you will despise yourself in your own eyes for your iniquities and your abominations. Let it be known to you that I am not doing this for your sake, declares Adonai Yahweh. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. And he goes on to say, so says Adonai Yahweh, in the day I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, and the waste shall be built. And the desolate land will be cultivated rather than being a ruin in the eyes of all those passing by. And they will say, this land that was desolated has become like the Garden of Eden, and the wasted and desolated and raised cities are fortified and inhabited. And the nations left all around, you shall know that I, Yahweh, built the raised places and planted that which was desolated. I, Yahweh, have spoken it and will do it. So again, what a blessing that your eyes are seeing this. That you're not just hearing the words of the book. You're living in the time where you're seeing the fulfillment of these words come to pass. How wonderful. Amos 9 and verse 8. Amos 9 and verse 8. Behold, the eyes of Adonai Yahweh are on the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from the face of the earth. Only that I will not completely destroy the house of Jacob, declares Yahweh. For behold, I will command, and I will shake the house of Israel among the nations, as one shakes with a sieve, yet not a grain shall fall to the ground. Verse 11, in that day I will raise up the sukkah, or the tabernacle of David that has fallen, and I will wall up its breaks, and I will raise up its rooms, and I will build it as the days of old. We see that that's been found. And then verse 14, and I will bring back the captivity of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and live in them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine of them. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them on their land, and they shall never again be pulled out of their land that I have given to them, says Adonai Yahweh. Wow. Yahweh clearly says that in only this day, that he will bring Israel back to their land, they will be a nation again, and then they will never be plucked up again. Psalm 102. And when is this going to happen? Psalm 102. I won't go over the beginning of the psalm, but if you look at the beginning of the psalm, it talks all about the Holocaust. It talks about the people's seeing the bones come through the skin. It talks about the ashes that are being burned in the crematoriums. And it was a terrible time. People seeing their whole families being wiped out, generations of generations being killed by Hitler of Jews at that time. 6 million Jews who gave their life to make the modern state of Israel. 1.5 million children that were killed in the Holocaust to make the modern state of Israel. But today, like I said, Israel is a vibrant nation, a nation that's alive. And during that time, during the time of the Holocaust, these people were crying out to Yahweh, and they're saying, how long will it be? Will everyone die? When will you intervene? And that's where I'm going to pick up. Verse 13. You shall arise. Have mercy on Zion, for the time to pity her, yea, the appointed time has come. For your servants take pleasure in its stones and pity its dust. So nations will fear the name of Yahweh, and all the kings of the earth your glory. When Yahweh shall build up Mount Zion, he will appear in his glory. Do you know, for the last 20 years, they've been building Mount Zion. Literally, the archaeologists have been rebuilding Mount Zion, and now, for the first time in 2,000 years, Mount Zion is rebuilt. And what does Yahweh say? When Mount Zion is rebuilt, the Messiah will appear in his glory. And who is this written for? Verse 18. This shall be written for the last generation, and a people to be created shall praise Yahweh. This is written for the last generation. All of this is part of the restoration ministry. And part of the ministry was people The name of the Creator was hidden for a long time. And people were using terms like God and Lord. But that's not the name that Yahweh gives Himself. Exodus 3:15 clearly says, "You shall tell this to the sons of Israel, Yahweh, the Elohim of Isaac, the Elohim of Jacob, the Elohim of Israel. That is my name." You tell them, Yahweh, that is my name. That is my name for all generations. So in the end time, Yahweh not only has to restore the land of Israel, but He has to restore His name in order to get that praise. You know, when I first started working with the Israeli government, one of my first meetings that I had at the Knesset, because you know, Jewish people don't use the name Yahweh. They feel it's too sacred to say, so they don't say it. And when I was in the meeting, the Knesset member that was with me, he said to me, "You know, Don, we love what you're doing. We want to help you. We want to support you. But there's only one thing. You're going to have to change the name of your congregation because the Jewish people don't use the name Yahweh." And I told him, what's happening here in the end time, it's not about me. It's about Yahweh. And I said, the day I change the congregation from Congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem to something else is the day that Yahweh will remove me. Because very clearly He said, in this day, His name will be glorified. And now, you are my Yahweh. You are being blessed that you are the grassroots. You are the first ones to hear that name, Yahweh, to proclaim it to all the other people in this nation. Your pastor and Brother David were telling me there's a lot of witchcraft in Liberia and a lot of satanic worship. But you want to know something? I am here today to bring the message that Yahweh has redeemed Liberia. The Spirit in us is greater than the Spirit in the world. The devil better start hiding because Yahweh has redeemed Liberia. He is here, but He's using you. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I've cast out many demons from people. Do not be afraid because the evil one only has power that you give him. And that's why he's a deceiver. Because Yahweh gives us free will to make choices. And he wants to trick you into giving the power that Yahweh is giving you over to him. But as you see with Yeshua, he couldn't trick Yeshua. Because Yeshua stuck to the word. Every time Satan tried to deceive him, Yeshua stuck to the word. He told Yeshua, when he was hungry after fasting for 40 days, "Hey, make these stones into bread," right? And what did Yeshua say? "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word out of the mouth of Yahweh." And this is going to be a spiritual battle. The same way I'm telling you in Israel, there is a spiritual battle going on between Yahweh and Satan, between good and evil, between the kingdom of Yahweh and the kingdom of the devil. That same battle is going on here now today. But you have the authority from Yahweh to take back your country and to redeem what was lost over here. The Sabbath day is part of Yahweh's restoration in the end time. At creation, long before there was an Abraham, a Noah, a Jew, or anybody else, when Yahweh created the earth and the heavens in 6 days, He rested on the seventh day and sanctified it. That word for rest in Hebrew is Shabbat. Yahweh Shabbatted on the seventh day. And from that time, that was a sign to the world that He is the Creator. And from creation, somebody, for the last almost 6,000 years, every seventh day has rested on this planet somewhere. And now He is restoring the seventh day here in Liberia. Sunday, the day of the sun, is a counterfeit. It's false worship. It comes from sun worship. Sunday from sun worship. But Yahweh is restoring to you now the Shabbat, the day of rest. It's a blessing that was lost, but now regain it. Now take that blessing and hold on to it. Because He says in Psalm 19, whoever does these things will be blessed by them. And like I say, you can look from Genesis to Revelation. There's only blessings for obedience, cursing for disobedience. So Yahweh is restoring back here the Sabbath day. Yahweh is restoring here. his family name of Yahweh, the name of his son Yeshua, which is Yahweh's salvation. He's restoring the true doctrine from Jerusalem that went out 2,000 years ago and now is coming back here in the last days. And he's restoring to you what you've lost, because by turning away from the Torah, what has it gotten you? Has it gotten the country blessings and happiness? No. It's gotten broken families. It's gotten witchcraft. It's gotten oppression, right? And lack of food and money. These are all things that this country has lost because Satan tricked the country into following him. But now in the days of restoration, Yahweh wants to restore to you everything that's been lost. Just like Job, who had everything taken away, but in the end he had more coming back. And the days we're living in, Yahweh wants to restore to you back your families. He wants to restore marriages back with husband and wife, one husband, one wife. He wants to restore your children back to you that are obedient, subservient to the parents. He wants to restore back to you the congregation that has proper teachers and pastors and people that will bring you the truth instead of people that are lying to you and using you for money. Yahweh is bringing today, and my message from Jerusalem is the message of restoration. And like I say, ours is the ministry of reconciliation, not condemnation. It's not about condemning the ones out there, that Yahweh has not opened up their mind yet. But it's about embracing the restoration that Yahweh has opened your mind to. It's about accepting the blessings that Yahweh will give you and wholeheartedly being obedient to Him so you can receive those blessings. Let's go to Micah 2. Micah, the second chapter. I'm sorry, the fourth chapter. Micah 4. Starting in verse 1. And it will be in the end of the days, the mountain of the house of Yahweh will be established upon the top of the mountains. And it will be lifted from the hills, and people shall flow on it. And many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go to the mountain of Yahweh, and to the house of the Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach us from his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Torah will go forth from Mount Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. The Torah will go forth from Mount Zion. Yahweh is bringing this to us in these last days. His word is going from Jerusalem to the nations, and he is fulfilling all of these prophecies. Psalm 122. Psalm 122. A song of ascent of David. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of Yahweh. Our feet will stand within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is joined to itself together. There the tribes go up, the tribes of Yah, to the testimony of Israel, to give thanks to the name of Yahweh. For the thrones of judgment were established there, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love you shall prosper. Peace within your walls, prosperity in your towers. Because of my brothers and my companions, I will now say peace in you. Because of the house of Yahweh Elohim, I will see your good. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I hope you do every day. I hope you pray for me. I hope you pray for this worldwide work. I hope you pray for Yeshua's kingdom and the restoration of his kingdom from Jerusalem to the nations, as well as praying for your families and your country and the word of Yahweh that's going out. But what a great time we live in. What an awesome time we live in, that we are blessed to be the ones, the last generation, to bring this message into the kingdom. That Yahweh says, this message will go to all the world, and then the end will come. And here it is, we're doing that. We're going throughout all the world, we're bringing this message. Doesn't mean everyone will accept the message, right? Narrow is the way, and constricted is the road. few will choose it. But what it means is we are bringing the witness of this kingdom, that everyone has a choice. Like Yahweh says in Deuteronomy 30, I put before you blessing and cursing. I put before you life and death. I put before you obedience and disobedience. Choose life, that you and your seed will live. That life is this book. That life is the truth. Because in the end time, the truth will set you free, right? Yahweh is a spirit, John 4. And we must worship him in spirit and truth. And now that you have that truth, you have to love the truth. You have to embrace the truth. And you have to show forth the fruits worthy of repentance. You have to show, because your greatest example to the rest of your Liberian brothers and sisters out there, your greatest example that this is true is the testimony of your life. It's not compromising. It's losing a job over the Sabbath because you know this is a blessing and a commandment of Yahweh. It's staying faithful to your spouse, even if they may not be faithful. It's being obedient to your parents, even if you don't have believing parents. It's being honest to your boss at work, even if he may be dishonest. Your testimony, your way of life, by the Holy Spirit living in you, is your greatest testimony to the people out there. And when they see the blessing that you're getting, when they see the happiness in your life, and they see the happiness in your families, believe me when I say, the door is going to be banging down by other Liberians wanting to come and join them. So I thank you very much for welcoming me here. I feel so blessed to be in this great nation of Liberia and to be here to bring you this restoration to you. So Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.